in his name. Amen. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16, where the Bible says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." Thank you this morning, church, for sitting patiently while we try to bring you the Word of God. This morning, we want to talk from a few minutes from a subject, God, or great is the mystery of godliness. Most of us are familiar with the word mystery, for many of us watch mystery movies. Many of us even live mysteries in our lives on a daily basis. I know I do. I put something away for safekeeping and then can't remember where I put it. That's a mystery, church. Then when we think about it, in our text for today, when we look at that text, we find Paul talking about the coming of Jesus into this world. It's all about Jesus from yesterday, today, as well as tomorrow. Now, a mystery is something that one cannot explain, something that we as men especially can't explain, because it defies our logic. The Bible, which is the greatest book of all times, it is also the Word of God, and the Word of God can be trusted to get us through. This text speaks of God being made known, being justified, being seen, being believed, and being received up in glory, church. So if we take a few moments as we go now and try to study this lesson, he was foretold by the prophets. The Old Testament is filled with prophecy of Jesus' forthcoming into this world. Jesus even confirmed it himself in Luke chapter 24 and verse number 44, where he said, "All things that were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me must be fulfilled." Noting that all these things were anticipated or prophesied, nothing could be left unfulfilled. So what preacher was prophesied, or what was foretold about Jesus? Well, if you go back and look in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah in chapter 7 and verse number 14, we were foretold of his birth. It says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." His birthplace was foretold in Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2. In Bethlehem, so it says. In Isaiah 53 verses number 4 and 5, it foretold how he would suffer for us. And then in Isaiah 53 and verse 9, it was foretold how his death was spoken of. But then in 1 Peter, if you want to come into the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you." Foretold in the old and confirmed in the new, church. Jesus, look at the text, if you will. In the text of 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." He came in the flesh, church. He came to us in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. So in today's text, the mystery of godliness is Jesus Christ. The mystery of godliness has been explained here for us by Paul in 1 Timothy, in the writing of 1 Timothy. Jesus Christ, who became sin for us, manifested in the flesh, according to John 1 in verse number 14. Not only was the Word made flesh, but he dwelt among us. I tell you something, church. When you think about how good God has been to us, there's no reason why we shouldn't try our best to be good to God. But you know, as men, we sometimes fail in our best efforts. According to someone once wrote that the best laid plans can soon go awry. Isn't that right? The best laid plans of man are nothing when it comes to the Word of God. The Word of God should take precedence over all of our lives. So not only were the prophets foretell about Jesus, the coming of Jesus, but he was preached of by the apostles. What did the apostles preach? Well, they preached the gospel, which is unto you with the Holy Ghost from heaven. It was sent from heaven, I should say. But I tell you something, church. According to 1 Peter chapter 1, go with me, if you will, over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 12. I want you to take note here of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 12, if you will. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things that which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. If we could but just go back. If we could but go back and hear the preachers of the apostles, the preachers preaching, what would we hear? Well, according to the Word of God, as we listen in to Peter in Acts chapter 2 and 24, we would hear him describe to the men of Israel how that Jesus was a man approved of God, how that he was delivered up to be crucified, and how that God raised him up from the dead and loosed the pains of death from him. We would hear Paul in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16 speak of not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ to all who believe. We would hear Philip in Acts chapter 8, starting at around about verse number 30, where he preached Jesus to a lost and non-understanding eunuch, who once he understood, he chose to be baptized into Christ. Church, I tell you, if you talk to someone that doesn't understand, they'll think you're crazy. But we as Christians know that the Word of God is the right Word. We as Christians know that the Word of God is the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel. Isn't that right? If man could be in charge of saving himself, many would pervert the gospel. Many would pervert the gospel to suit their own needs. They would not have Jesus a part of their salvation. But in Acts chapter 4 and number 12, we are told salvation cannot be found in any other, no other name under heaven whereby we can be saved. Well, that tells me something, church. If there's but one name whereby we can be saved, if there is but one name whereby we can be saved, doesn't it make sense that we would choose that name to serve and to try our best to be saved by? When you think about it, we need the Lord more than ever than we ever did in this world. Why should it be that innocent children can no longer be what they are, children? Why should it be that if they step outside of their doors, they run the risk of being shot down? Why, if they walk to school, they run the risk of being shot or mugged or kidnapped? Why, when they get to school, they can't concentrate on their studies? But when you think about it, church, when they want to do something that the other people that are the bad people want them to do, it's all right. But I tell you, church, when I look at the text once again, in the text and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God is real, church. God is so very real. God is real enough to save us from our troubles, our trials, and our tribulation. When we think about it and we look at that text, there's a word in there that I want you to take notice of. That word is godliness. The Greek word for godliness means a life that is respectable toward God and His law. That means that we ought to be godly in our ways of living our lives each and every day, church. For the Christian, it goes even deeper. It takes a lot to be a Christian, church. No, there's no doubt about it. We are tempted on every hand. There's so much going on in the world that we can be so easily pulled away if we're not careful. And you know, guess who's out there trying to pull you away? Oh, Satan is trying his very best to pull you away, church. He's trying to lead you his direction instead of allowing you to go in the direction of God. It takes having a thorough understanding of Jesus. It takes a thorough knowledge of God's Word. And it takes us to be studied in order to know what God expects of us. Jesus is not, being a Christian is not simply having faith in Jesus, it's having faith in living that faith in Him as well. Some folk think that being rich means godliness. But I'm here to let you know that there are many wealthy folks who are so far from being godly that it's not funny. Not all of them, but some of them. I know that the folk in the church house with money, they're godly folk, I believe. At least I hope they are. But there are some rich folk in this world today, the farthest thing from their mind is godliness. Let me put it in perspective for you. Let me put it in perspective for us, living by what it means, living godliness. Living godliness gives us hope that when we come to die, and we will, when we come to die, we understand that we have a better hope in Jesus. We'll understand better what Jesus said in John chapter 11 and verse number 25, where He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." I want that, church. I want that, don't you? Oh, yeah. I want that. But then when you go back and you look at the text again, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He came to life and He became a human being, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and then received up in glory. So the angels, He was rejoiced of by the angels. Jesus was seen of the angels according to the text this morning. They worshiped Him in Hebrews chapter 1 and 6. They rejoiced at His birth in Luke chapter 2 around verse number 13. They were praising God and saying glory to God. The angels were there to comfort Him when Satan tempted Him. In Matthew chapter 4 around verse number 11. The angels stood at the ready to defend Him if He called upon them in Matthew chapter 26. But in one of the most touching points in God's Word can be found in Luke chapter 22, where Jesus, after going to His Father in prayer, and a prayer like none other, a prayer that made sweat seem to be as great drops of blood falling to the ground. Church, when you feel like you are out of options, all you got to do is reach up to God through prayers. For my copy of God's Word said that if that He had prayed for a removal of a cup that was to come to Him, and there appeared to Jesus an angel from heaven giving Him strength. Church, if you need strength, just ask God for strength. And I know what some are saying. I can do this all by myself. I don't need nothing but my money and my automobile, and I can do this all by myself. Well, I found out in my life personally that I can't do it all by myself. And I know your life, you found out some personal issues that you can't handle all by yourself. When you can't handle it all by yourself, then it's the time to go to Jesus, church. And when you go to Jesus, ask Him to help you to get through what you are going through. Everybody is going through something. If they're not going through it, they are getting ready to go through it. Or they just got out of going through it. But you're going through something in this life. And anybody that tells you, "I don't have no troubles," they don't know the definition of troubles. Isn't that right? So Jesus, the Bible says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Godliness. The book, the text is speaking about Jesus Christ, church. Godliness. I thank God this morning for godliness. I thank God that great is the mystery of godliness. I thank God that He was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, and the apostles' doctrine is here for us. But most importantly of all, I thank God for Jesus being up in glory. Church, won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells ringing, when with the Savior we enter the glory land? Won't it be wonderful there, church? Up in glory. Oh, yeah. and without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. I thank God this morning, church, that this mystery is no longer a mystery because Jesus Christ has come into our life. If we are Christians, if He hasn't come into your life, you need to make a way for Him to come into your life. And somebody out there may be thinking, well, I tried that and that didn't seem to work. Well, I got some news for you this morning. If it didn't work with Jesus, what makes you think it's going to work without Jesus? And I tell you, church, when I look at all of the troubles in this world in which we live, and I'm almost done. I'm almost done because I know some of you are kind of warm. But when I think about all the troubles in this world, and I think about that we could solve many of these problems in this world if we would all just become godly-like. Isn't that right? You know, when it's a shame when men and women are trying to do their best, and some of them are working 2 and 3 jobs each, trying to make ends meet, and don't seem like those ends ever meet. They seem to always be just a little bit farther apart than we'd like them to be. Isn't that right? Oh, yeah, sometimes it seems as though if I don't do what I do best, I won't make it in this time and in this day. But I tell you, when you think about it, church, when your ends won't meet, maybe it's time to put someone in the middle there. And when that someone that I'm talking about is great, without controversy, is the mystery of godliness. I'm talking about putting Jesus in your life this morning, church. And I believe that if you put Jesus in your life, I believe everything will be all right. Now, I'm not promising anybody any rainbow-filled treasure chest or anything like that, because God doesn't work on money. That's you. We work on money. God works on your service to Him, how we serve Him. Are we true Christians, or do we just pretend to be Christians? I know a lot of folk, and I'm not talking about anyone here, but I know a lot of folk. I know a lot of folk, they like to pretend. They like to talk about how great they are and how good of a Christian they are. And when you run up on them during the week, guess where you run up on? Well, never mind. I'm not going to tell you where I found some of my so-called brothers at during the middle of the week. Because they'll say the preacher ain't doing nothing but gossiping. But I tell you, church, when you live godly life, when you bring godliness into your life, there's something about living godly. There's something about being able to just reach out and call upon Jesus anytime you need to call upon Him. And I know there are some times when some of us, and again, I'm not talking about anybody, but I know there are some times when some of us wait until everything gets on top of our heads, and then we say, Lord, I need you now. But you know what? You got so much on you then. Maybe God is not ready to move all that stuff. But great is the mystery, without controversy, the mystery of godliness. God, how that God came into this world was manifested in the Spirit. How that God came down and became a human being just like all of us. And I'm always drawn back to that in that book of Luke in chapter 22 where He did go into the garden and began to pray. And He asked His Father, if it be Thy will, remove this cup from me. See, Jesus had become human. And if He had to drink out a cup that He didn't want to drink out of, then I know we have cups we don't want to drink out of. But then, I appreciate it so much where in that text, the Bible says that an angel came and strengthened Him. Now, somebody may say, well, preacher, how do you think He strengthened Him? I don't know. I just know what the Bible says. The Bible says He strengthened Him. I don't know if He simply wiped the sweat from His face. I don't know if He brought Him a cup of ice water. I don't know if He told Him everything is going to be all right. I simply know that the Bible said this angel gave Him strength. Strengthening Him, and it's what it said. So great is the mystery without controversy of godliness. Church, if you haven't met God, you need to meet Him. And I know that some of us met him a long time ago. Some of us longer than others, of course. Some of us met him a long time ago, but some of us have failed him. Some of us have failed in our duties toward him. And you know, it never fails that when some of us fail, we think the world is wrong and not us. We think everybody else is wrong and not us. It's somebody else's fault that I did what I did. It wasn't my fault. But you know, we've got to learn to say, sometimes I'm wrong. But as Christians, I thank God so much that we have the ability to go to Him and ask Him for forgiveness of our trespasses. How much time do I have? Just a couple more minutes. We have the ability to go to God and ask Him to forgive Him of our trespasses. Now I want you to take note of something. If God will give us forgiveness, why won't we go to Him and ask for forgiveness? I'll tell you why. Because most of us, and I'm going to speak to the men for a moment here. Most of us as men, we have big heads. You can call it an ego if you want to, but I just say we got big heads. And you know how, for some of you that are probably in my age range even, you know how you may have been driving somewhere and your wife told you you should have turned left back there? And you told her, no, I'm going straight because that's the way to go. And you get about 10 miles down the way and you say, I should have turned back there. You don't look over at her and tell her she was right, but you say, I should have turned back there. Well, church, when we as Christians look at things, sometimes we view things in that same manner. You know, I may as well throw this out there while I was there visiting that. Didn't the Bible tell us that when a man finds a wife, he finds what? A good thing. I just thought I'd throw that back there too. But anyway, we as Christians, sometimes God has told us which way to go, and we decided I'm not going that way. I'm going the other way. Well, there's only two ways to go. You're either going to follow God. What's the other option? You know what I'm talking about. You're going to follow Satan. And there are those who think, well, I'm going to stand on middle ground. I'm just going to do it my way. Well, you're either right or you're wrong. God came into this world to hang, bleed, and die because many of us chose to do it our way. Isn't that right? So what can I do this morning, preacher? What is it left for me to do? I know that I've been wrong so much of my life. I know that I should be doing something differently now. I know that there's some way better for me. What can I do? Well, first of all, if you're not a Christian, you need to become a Christian. How do I become a Christian? You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. What a nice day to be baptized. Oh, yeah. But you don't get in the water just to cool off. You get in the water so that the water and the blood will wash away your sins. Isn't that right, church? But then if you've already become a Christian a long time ago, like I said, some longer than others, if you've already done that, but your life hasn't been walking, you haven't been walking right in your life, you need to go back to God and say, Lord, I need your help. And then you come forward right here up here on this bench. Turn around and face the audience and ask the audience to pray for you, to help you to get straight. Don't ask them to do it all for you. Ask them to help you pray that you get straight. Pray for me, church, that I may be able to get through what I'm going through. If God died on the cross to get us through, we certainly ought to be able to go, not shouldn't be ashamed to go back to Him and say, Lord, I was wrong. Great is the mystery of godliness. If you're here this morning, you have an opportunity as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Number 610. Precious Lord.